Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. We do truly want to give an honor to God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We honor him tonight for all of his many blessings that he has shared upon us. His mercy early this morning when we rose up out of the bed, giving us grace to go through the situations of life, everyday life. We do want to thank God for all the callers, the listeners tonight, because it is an honor and a blessing before you once again tonight on this ministry program. Nothing good that I've done, but through and by the will and the grace of God that he's given me an opportunity. And I'm blessed to be a part of it. As I learn and I share what the Lord has given me to be able to share and learn from as I go. So many situations going on around the world today. Sometimes people don't know which way to turn. And tonight, we are best to come together. Our bishop has talked about something, the Guardian, losing their religion, why U.S. churches are on the decline, is our topic tonight. We're grateful, we're thankful to be able to come together on this. And if anyone listening, anyone have a comment, anything that they may give an encouraging word on or want to share, our phone number is 646-668-17. Anyone that feels free to call in to have any questions on anything, we keep it basically spiritual. Basically spiritual. Phone number once again, 646-668-8217. As we get prepared, we're going to do our prayer requests before we get started. We want to pray for the sick and the needy, the bereaved family that's going through tonight of a lost loved one or someone. Still, COVID has not went anywhere. We're still losing many people still yet from COVID. The people over with an earthquake, 40-something thousand people, and then another earthquake hit yesterday or so, and a few more people has died from it, and they're still searching for people. Lost loved ones, children, families, we're continuing to pray for them. Russia, the situation there, and the Ukrainians, still praying for that situation. All of our world leaders, our spiritual leaders, our spiritual churches and bodies all over the land, praying for our families. Continue to pray for my companion, Celestine Harshaw, that God will continue to give her strength as she goes through. Some of our other loved ones that we want to special prayer request, Brother Dallas Howell, our brother Wes Armstrong and family, the Logan family, as their son is still paralyzed from the waist down from a fall that he had took want to continue to remember them and their family in prayer. Just all of our loved ones, the incarcerated police, teachers, children, the elderly, the widow, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, just once again, Lord, we come before you thanking you for so much that you continue to bless us through the day on. You, Lord, because you always have our best interests at hand. We thank you, Lord, because without you, we have nothing to look forward to in this land. We continue to pray for all of our spiritual leaders and their families as they need prayer, as everyone else does. They're going through a struggle in life just like anyone else. We thank you, Lord, because we know you're able to do all of these things that we ask. We praise and uplift your holy name because it's all about you when it comes down to the end of the day, Lord. You're the main source of everything that we come to you for everything. Trusting you, have faith, dear God. We just ask you, dear God, to bless this program tonight, this ministry program. Holy Spirit, however you lead, help us to be led in the way that you lead us. We're so grateful for our families and loved ones. Excited about what God has already done and what he's doing and what he's going to continue to do. We thank him in advance because he holds the future in his hands. We're living for the moment, but Lord, help us to acknowledge who is the future and who holds the future in their hands. And that's you, Lord. We thank you on this night. We bless your holy name. We praise you, Lord, and worship you. All these blessings, we ask you to bless the sick and the needy tonight. Everyone needs prayer. Everyone in some stage of their life is going through something. And, Lord, we want you to bless them in a special way. We ask all these blessings in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Before we get started, we're going to read a scripture here or two. Let me get my scripture here, and the scripture is Proverbs Chapter 8, verse 1, starting at verse 1. Do not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the place of the paths. She crieth at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming, and at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop right there. It says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? So with all the things that we do, their understanding and wisdom. And we're going to get started tonight and talk just a little bit about the losing their religion, why U.S. churches are on the decline. You know, you have, when we was young, you know, it says, friend of Satan, how Lucifer grieved, and his synodic temple are fighting the religious right. You know, we have all kinds of evil surrounding us in the world. And when we was young, our parents, you know, we didn't have a choice then. If they say you're going to church, you're going to church. That was just the end of the question, whether you wanted to or not. And there was a lot of children back when I was younger that was in the church. They went to Sunday school. They went to Bible school in the summer. They went to everything that they had, YPHA for the youth, things that they was involved. They had children's choir, youth choir, adult choirs, where you got in and sang whether you wanted to or not. You was involved in a number of things when we was growing up as children. And as we got older, we was taught in the right way how to act, how to carry yourself and other things, even though sometimes you had some that didn't listen, didn't care. They just went because they had to, not to focus on paying attention to anything if they could get by with it. And we look at the situation, the older we have got through the years, myself speaking on, when I was old enough to get away from the church, then I got away for a while before I returned back. And most of the time, the reason was so many of the so-called Christians back then, in which there were some people that was truly living the life, but you had a lot of Christians that tried to tell you what you needed to do, tell you what you shouldn't do. And sometimes they wasn't living up to the standard of the Christian religion that they were supposed to. And you got tired of hearing it. You got tired of facing them. You got tired and you just wanted to get away and everything. And the younger generation just started to turn away. And as we look back nowadays, the church is on the decline. You have a lot of young people that have stopped going because a lot of them have went to college. A lot of them have got jobs, and the jobs take up their time. Their studies take up their time, their party life and things that they want to do in life. They don't want to go. And a lot of the times they are tired of being judged on what they were, how they look, how they carry themselves. And they turn away from the church. They get away, and they don't want to come in because it's a lot of chaos with them and the older people that's judging them in a way that you shouldn't. And they've turned away. And then, you know, I did a little reading that said some of the younger ministry that is starting out young in the church started to criticize the young people outside of the church and the things that they were doing and made them turn away, made them feel like they wasn't anything or didn't belong. And it makes a difference when you're going into a situation like that. A lot of young people nowadays, they haven't been raised up in the church. And once you get them in the church, you can't push them back out the door before you get them in. you got to realize you got to show love, respect to them. A lot of them have not even been talked to about going to church and the Word of God. And sometimes, you know, it's just by the grace of God that they just feel like somebody might invite them. And they come in, and people start looking at them funny because of the way they may be dressed, the way their hair may look, the way, you know, they might have their piercings in a certain way. And people just continue to stare and look at them in a funny way, and it makes a person feel, you know, funny about things in life. But we have to realize this is pushing the younger generation away more so than drawing them into the church. And some don't really agree to what's being preached in the way that it's preached anymore. Okay, churches are closing at a rapid number in the United States. Researchers say as congregations dwindle across the country and a younger generation of America abandon Christianity altogether, even as faith continues to dominate American politics. So if faith is still continuing to dominate, what's the problem? And it talks about, you know, COVID-19. A lot of churches are closed because of the COVID, because of the virus, because of the beliefs, because of the disrespect, because of the hypocritical way that they've been treated and talked about. You know, it's funny the way that people think sometimes. When it comes to the younger generation, we have to consider the way that they feel when they walk through the door. It's hard to get some of them into the church doors. And then it's hard to get them in there to keep their mind focused on the word that's been preached to them. If they come in, they're on their phones, checking their phones, texting back and forth, not really paying attention. Coming to church because they was invited, or some come to church because they want to be seen and say, well, I went to church, but they're not paying attention to what the Word of God is trying to give them and teach them. And a lot of people is looking because a lot of big churches is about money, and they feel like it's all about money. They feel like, well, you know, that every time I go, they're always talking about money. They're always talking about this and that. So we have a lot of situations that could cause the churches to be on a decline. It says about 4,500 protested churches closed in 2019. The last year data is available with about 3,000 new churches opening, according to Lifeway Research. So you have churches closing, you have churches opening. But as they're opening, there are not as many people coming into the doors as it used to be. You used to go into the churches and the doors was full. I mean, the church was full of people. Sometimes it would get so full, they didn't have enough seats to seat the people. And they would worship and praise God, have services 2-3 times on a Sunday. You know, I can remember on a Sunday we'd go to church. Sometimes they'd have 3 services on Sunday. And the late service, the children go to sleep, they'd set them back on the back seats and continue to praise and worship the Lord. And until everything was over and said and done. Mama used to tell us we'd get so tired of going to church, we'd get out there and we'd start playing. And thinking if we get a little dirty, we wouldn't have to go. And she'd always tell us, now y'all go. Y'all know you're going back to church. If you get dirty, you're going just like you look. You're going back dirty anyhow. So we know not to get dirty, not to mess up our clothes. And then along with that dirtiness, because she told us, a whooping come right behind it. So nowadays, children are not learning enough about the Word of God. They're not being invited enough into the churches. And like I said, a lot of the times they're going through the situation of college, jobs, disbelief, friends, wanting to do something else besides come into the churches. So the thing is, we have so many churches, as we look at, on decline because of the younger generation not participating like they used to. It says, the story, a new survey finds that U.S. church membership has fallen below a majority for the first time in nearly a century. In nearly a century have fell for the first time. And like we said, so much is going on. COVID is one of the big things that closed up churches. And when people got out of the churches, they never returned back to the churches. And, you know, the doors is not open like they used to be because of this situation. We still have to pray for these younger generations. We still have to try our best to encourage and uplift them and let them know that we're not out there to judge. We're out there to uplift in the best way we can and to be able to lead them in the right direction to Christ. A lot of people I've heard, young people, young men anyway, says I've never had a man in my life to talk to or to tell me anything. You know, it was always a mother or women in their life to tell them things as a young man. And it takes a man in a young man's life to help them through and tell them things in the way of manhood. A woman can do all that they can do, but they can never be a man to whereas in a young man's life, to whereas they can talk to him in a way that a man can. And I believe this is the reason why everything is on the decline because of the COVID. A lot of the fathers are missing in the young men's life. They're not there to lead them into the churches, to be able to talk to them in a way, spiritual way, them know that Jesus loves them and they love them too. But we have this problem in the United States. And what should we do? Or what can we do? Or how do we handle this situation? And I'm opening up this mic here and see if I can get some more help on this that may give some input. Praise the Lord, brothers.
Yes, sir.
We want to see if we can get some more input on this and just continue to go on from there.
Yeah.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
I've read the same article that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And my understanding of Christianity is also based on what a lot of young people understanding is based on now. And they see on the Discovery Channel, they see the hypocrisy of Christianity. And if you look at what's happening around us now, you got the Christians, people run around talking about they're Christians, but they hate you. You got
That's
the
right.
red states and blue states. And these are Christians. You got Christians now, white Christians. And the white Christians, again, don't want to be bothered. And they talking about Christian nationalism. They're talking about Judeo-Christian, which is not about us.
Mm-hmm.
And what we going to have to do, Pastor Miller and I, we had a similar conversation on Thursdays at 6 and at noon on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Her thing is now that she is going to the Creator, asking him, how do we reach young people today? Because the young people, how people reached us, it's not going to work today. It's not working.
No, it's not.
And we're talking about African members of the African-American community. And what the young African-Americans are seeing, they are seeing how this country, talking about it's a Christian country, but what are they doing to people of color? And it is worse now than it was when I was growing up.
Truly
And so these young people now, they don't want to be bothered. And they will tell you. And I don't think that it is that they don't really believe or want to believe, but what they see, they don't want to be a part of it.
Yes.
I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm a retired United Methodist pastor. If I was coming along now, ain't no way you'd get me in anybody's church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest. Because of what I see in the world, there's no different than what's in the world and what's in the church.
So true.
And I had a, you were saying earlier about the young people, you kicking them out before they get in there. That was one of the situations that I went through in my last church. I'm up there. I just knew I was preparing the congregation for growth and reaching out to young people. And you know what young people told me? They said they were not made to feel comfortable whenever they came to that church.
Yes.
And they, well, at that time, they were 18, 19, and 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it is, we done got caught up into, I got mine and you got yours to get.
So true.
And that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus says. That's not the message of the gospel. We have to reach out to other people. We have to share.
If you don't
share what it is, and then when you sharing it, if you're a hypocrite, if they see it, people know whether we're genuine or not. And yeah, the money part, I mean, pastors going will be a little ticked off at me. Well, that's a fine with me. I'm sick and tired of hearing, you turn on the TV, on these religious broadcasts, everybody talking about sowing. Sow $1,000. I sold $1,000, and I got $10,000 over here. Somebody gave me this, and somebody gave me that. There is more to sowing than money.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm, and I know what sowing is all about. And people, like you were saying about the whole money thing, and tithing. I have a question about tithing. Yeah, I know what the scripture said. That was the scripture where Abraham met Melchizedek. And he gave Melchizedek 10% of the spoil. That's what the scripture said, the spoil. It wasn't what he owned. It was what he got from the war.
Yes.
And then I read Matthew chapter 6 about giving, it ain't putting a box up there and the preacher telling everybody, come on down now, all you tithers, come on down and put your money in this box.
Mm-hmm.
It's about giving is giving from the heart. What's in your heart? Do you want
That's
to
right.
give? You,
That's
if
right.
you don't want to give, I don't care how much money you give. God knows your heart.
No good. No good.
Right. And it's like I used to. I well, God, I gave X number of dollars. Now I want you, I expect to get X number of dollars back.
Mm-hmm.
God won't listen to that. That ain't
no.
given according to the word. So, yeah, and see, since this program is about family, yeah. I saw the people and male people in my family, and my family was more than my biological family. My family was the community as well. I saw what the men were doing in the community on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
But see, now the world has taught black males that you can have a 12-year-old mentoring a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
true.
So you can't do that. I know when I was out there, ain't nobody my age or a couple years older than me could tell me nothing because we're out there doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But my uncles and their friends, their buddies, they could tell me something. I would listen to them. But now we, as a family, we have lost it. We're not preparing our offspring to live according to the word.
So true.
So I'm sorry. Yeah, you can tell there's a lot of passion. I feel strong about it. I feel that we've been taught something that's not biblical, and
that's
right. One of the reasons that we are in the we as a people, our communities and the Shammas are in there, because we were told, don't worry about having riches here on this earth. You die and go to heaven, you're gonna get your riches when you get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you look at the world and the world got riches. So our young people nowadays, they're looking at it and saying, you hypocrite.
That's so true. That's right.
And they're not judging. So don't come up here calling up and talking about we're judging people. That's a lie. We
mm-hmm.
are looking at people's fruits. What are the fruits?
And that's where it starts.
That's right.
Not to judge, but looking at the fruit. The Bible says we can be a fruit inspector. And we speak of what speed and what you're doing and what you're living, not to judge you of any of it, but you're showing it yourself by the
That's
way
right.
you carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have let down the standards from teaching our youth as they grow older the truth, sugarcoating things.
Mm-hmm.
Make them feel good, to be honest, to be truthful, and always give them the good along with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's bad, so we can't mess around and make the bad look good as if there's no bad into it. You have to know the truth to be able to survive and make it through these situations. And if we teach them the truth, spiritually by the word of God, and let them know what life is about and what to expect when things don't turn out the way you want it to. We have an advocate to go to pray to, but we have a work to do ourselves on the way we carry ourselves and the things that we do. If you want to learn to do, you have to be around the right people to do better with. And the thing is, a lot of our youth get with the crowds. I got with the crowds when I was young. I did things that you did because I thought I was old enough and bad enough to do what I wanted to.
That's
but the
right.
thing was, we had to learn, and we have to teach them as well, because we've been out there into the world. We've lived out in the world and did everything that we thought was good to us as our flesh and our body. But we learned different the older we got. God's grace kept us here for a reason, to be able to help someone else through the things that we've been through, not to judge them, not to put them down. And that's the way we have to continue to talk to them, out of love, out of respect. They deserve respect as well as we deserve respect. As long as they give respect, they get respect. We have to let them know, if you don't respect, you don't get respect. And we just have to be straightforward with it, because we're losing our youth. That's the reason why we're here. You know, I understand we go through with Black Lives Matter, and it does. Every life matters. But we have our kind, killing our own kind. And they keep talking about when somebody else does it, how bad it is. We have to realize, and we have to turn around from all of this hatred that we have. And if we teach our children when they're young coming up, we can save them from the things of the world as bad. It might not change everything, but it can change some things in their life for the better if you get them while they're young. You can't wait till they get to be a teenager and try to tell them what to do. They're too far gone.
That's right.
They want to tell you, jump on you. So we have to get them while they're young and get them back in church. Pray with them. Get them down at night and pray with them. That's like my little 8-year-old granddaughter. She gets in there every night when she's with us. And we pray, and after we pray, we do the Lord's Prayer. Well, she's then learned the Lord's Prayer now, and she's excited about it. It makes us happy because we're doing what we're supposed to do with them. And as long as we continue to do that, they enjoy going to church. She get up, she say, Papa, we're going to church today, when she know it's Sunday morning. And then if she comes and another young one come, we have a Sunday school teacher set for her and the other ones at the back, as well as the grown-ups. So she enjoys it. And that's what we aim to do to our young people. That's the only way, if we can reach them young, that things can change in their lives. We want to see our churches grow, but we don't want to be hypocrites and lie to them and judge them and put them down and everything on what they were, how they look when they come in. It's like our bishop has said before, Bishop R.C., said, you don't scale a fish before you catch them. You got to catch them and get them in first. And
that's
then,
right.
You know,
I like
you
that.
Work and scale them, you know. So we have to understand the way that things work in life. We had to learn when we was young, and it's up to us to teach them as they grow and learn. We have so many killings in the world. Every time you turn around, you hear on TV, whether it be Charlotte, Hickory, wherever it may be, young black man didn't kill another young black man. But the thing is, they're not being taught in the homes when they're young. Their parents is young. They haven't even learned because they was young when they had them, and they wasn't
That's
taught
right.
themselves. So we're losing our young people as young people. You know, when a young mother has to face raising a son and she's young, herself, and she hasn't been taught the way to raise a child because she's still too young to raise one, and she has no help, no man in her life to help her. That's where we're losing a lot of our young men at. Too many young mothers without a father in the child's life to be able to teach them the way they should be or the way to go.
Yeah, the thing I used to hear, I don't need a man to help me raise my child. And that was, and then little man, that's my little man. Well, he's not a man. He's a child.
That's right. Yes.
So, you know, all that we are putting into our children, that's what we're getting back. And all of a sudden, the kid starts saying, I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know what being a man is all about.
That's right.
And it's real sad, real, real sad when we stop and look at it. And
it really
that
is.
Whole saying that it takes a village to raise a child, that's no lie. Because when you're out there in the street, somebody can walk up to you and tell you, hey, you need to check yourself. And you listen. But now these kids don't listen, because if I say something to your child and your child doesn't like what I said, he going to go home and tell you, then you going to come on and jump on me. And then you got your Smith and Wesson. Yeah, you got your Smith and Wesson, and I got my Glock.
Yeah.
And so we got a shootout.
That's right.
So how is that teaching our young people how to handle their conflict? We
so
tell
true.
Them get a gun. So it's real something out here nowadays. I'm glad. I thank God that I'm not trying to raise no children out during this time. It's something. It's
not
really
easy.
Something. No. And now I know people who listen gonna disagree, but the system itself has brainwashed our young people. The system, if you look at how many black males graduate from high school, that should tell you something. They don't graduate from high school, but they wind up in prison.
So
the system is not set up to educate black males. So what is the community doing? They got these multi-million-dollar buildings sitting up here, and they got people coming there on Sunday morning, sit down in the pews, and listen to the Reverend. The Reverend pay their tithes, and then they go home. Well, why don't when you go to the Jewish community in the synagogue, they have classes.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Asian community, they have classes for their children. They're not depending on somebody else to teach their children.
That's right.
So,
and see, that's what we're lacking at.
That's right.
And most of the time, you know, we look at the situation like, you know, you get a situation sometimes where the father says, well, I'm going to go ahead and just send them to church, and the mama, they send their child to church for somebody else to take care of and things while they're there, knowing that the child don't want to be there, but they make them go. But they don't want to be there. And they feel like that, you know, it's something that they're doing special. But sometimes they need to come with their child to whereas they can learn themselves to be able to be a help, not only from the pastor or the congregation of Christians that's supposed to be true Christian people, to give the word to teach them. The parent can learn enough to where they would want to help teach their children too. But they send the child, and then the child come home, and if the child's a little excited to talk about what he learned, well, they don't have time to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear. They want to send them, but they don't want to hear what they got to say about it. They send them on their way, and it makes the child feel unimportant about something that deals with Christ, because you send me to learn something, and when I want to talk about it, you brush me off. And, you know, children, it hurts the child's heart when they have something that they want to talk to you about and you don't have time to listen to them. I mean, you don't even have to really say nothing. Just let them talk about what they want to say to make them happy and feel good. And if you do that, they have to do that alone. But if you brush them off, you hurt that child. You break that child's heart because they feel that you don't have time for them or have time to listen to what they have to say. So you have to look to the situation. Your child has a whole lot going on their mind as well as you do. You don't even know what your child's going through. Your child might be going through something, need someone to talk to. So you need to sit down and just let them open up their hearts if they have something to talk to you about and listen to them. And then you can give them some encouraging words to help them, to make them feel better and everything. But if you don't spend time with your child while they're young, listening to them and talking to them and doing a little bit of activities or whatever with them to make them feel like they're wanted or just needing to be close to you or whatever, it makes that child feel as if they have nobody. And they start going through things, and you don't pay attention to see what your child's going through. And then all of a sudden something happens, and you're like, I know that ain't my child. My child ain't going to do that. My child wouldn't do nothing like that. But you don't know nothing. You didn't have time to pay attention to your child when everything was going on. Now the child's stressing, going through situations in life, and you're wondering why. We have to pay attention to these young people and the things that they face nowadays, because, like I said, a lot of judging is going on, a lot of putting down. I know I talked to my sister about this same thing when you attended to me. And she said a lot of people that she worked with, where she worked at Grills Laboratory. And she said a lot of people there talked to her, that she talked to about church, tells her, said the reason why they stopped going to church, said because a lot of people want to judge and talk and things like that. And said that's the reason why a lot of them said they don't go to church no more, because they don't want to hear the gossip. They don't want to hear the judging. They don't want to get the funny looks and things like, you know, they shouldn't be here like that or whatever the situation may be. And I was talking to my nieces. One's 25 and the other's 24. She'll be 24 May. And the same thing they say. They go through a lot of judging, a lot of people trying to tell them should do or whatever. But when you see them, they're not doing it. But they're trying to tell you what you should do. And they hate to face those situations. You know, when you should be uplifting, trying to encourage them to come back more, letting them know that you love them, you're praying for them, and move on. And that's enough encouragement to let them know that you love them, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, come on back, join us again. You know, make them feel good about things instead of breaking them down and wanting to push them away. And then when you don't see them a Sunday or two, you wonder why. I haven't seen such and such in a while. I wonder what happened to them. Well, you got to realize you may have said or did something to hurt that person.
and they don't pay attention to that then when they don't see them. So we have to be real careful with these young people nowadays compared to when we was back then, because like you said, it's not the same, and you can't bring them in the same way that we was bought in and the things that we did when we was younger. It's completely different. It's turned upside down, and we just have to continue to encourage them. Talk to them.
Yeah, the message I want to make this clear is that we are not saying that the message, we have to change the message. The message is the same, but the way we deliver that message is different. It is really different now. And so it's we have to understand that we're not going to give them anything that's watered down. We're going to give them the truth. And the truth is God. Because the word is
always
God. And so we just have to make sure that I know they had movies growing up. My aunt used to have movies on Sunday afternoon at the Methodist Youth Fellowship. She would show us movies, which was slightly different. Maybe now we need to have those games, Christian games, or religious games, or spiritual games. Let them play with their games. Now, I read scripture. I used to read scripture from my computer. And then when those cell phones became popular, I read scripture from my cell phone. Well, I was criticized, not to my face, but people were saying that the Bible, the King James Bible, is the only book that you need to be reading out of. Well, kids, young people ain't got no Bible.
That's right.
It's on their phone, their cell phone. If they are got the Bible app, you need to sit down with them. Okay, you need to get the Bible app on your phone and explain to them, hey, this is not, people not reading it like they used to read in our book. And there's nothing wrong with them reading the Bible, reading the word. It's the same word
that's
written on them pages. So
I have it on both of my phones.
Yeah. And see, the other thing is, too, we need to teach people about giving. Teach people. We don't teach people. We just tell them, you got to give. Sit down with them. Have a class. Explain to them giving, why you give. And if we could teach them how to give and why they're giving, then that will transfer over into their daily living.
Yeah.
Well, now, I got to be a good steward, so I can't run to McDonald's every day. I can take just $10. And I can go and buy some oatmeal, buy some grits, and you ain't going to get too many more things. Maybe get a loaf of bread.
Nowadays,
I have a $10 bill. But,
true.
But they will understand that, hey, I got to be a good steward of my money. Because this is not money God gave. This is God's money that he gave me. And I mean, that's clear. There's scriptural. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he said, he was clear, I give you power. Now, it doesn't read that way. I'm paraphrasing. He says that he give you power to get wealth so that he can fulfill the covenant that he made with the ancestors. So, you know, once we start teaching people why they give and how they give, like you give from your heart. If
yes, you
sit up there with $100 bill and I got to put some gas in my car, I got to do this. And the reverend up there browbeating you, you know, you got to come on, somebody in here, I know somebody can give this, I know. And they feel all guilt and they go up and spend, put their $100 bill in there, not understanding
that's
the process.
Right.
So now they need gas to get back and forth to work. So what are they going to do? They're going to steal somebody? Or are they going to lie to somebody to get the $100 that they need? So
that's right.
It would make more sense to say, okay, whatever God is leading you to give, you give that.
That's right.
But I don't know. It took me a long time to get here.
I talked to my nieces about that just a while ago. I mean, a while back and everything about, you know, as long as you give something on Sundays, because God has allowed you and blessed you to work. He has allowed you and blessed you to have a paycheck. He's blessed you and allowed you to have a nice car, something dependable that you have. Give him some of your time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because everything belongs to him already. I mean, he has been the one to allow you to have what you have. So why not bless him with something? And he continues to bless you day in and day out. And I told him, I said, thank him every day for the ride he gave you. Thank you for giving you another day of life, health, and strength. Just thank him for every time you get a paycheck in your hand. Lord, I thank you for another paycheck, Lord. You know, because without him, we have nothing to look forward to.
That's right.
So I talked to them about that just to let them know this is the things that we have to do in life just to show the Lord we're thankful and grateful for what he does and how he blesses us to be able to carry on and do the things that we do. Because if he cut us off, that's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, nothing we can do about it. But his grace and his mercy sees us through by and by, day in and day out, that we open our eyes to be able to take another breath. We should look up and say, I thank you, Lord. Because he is the one and the main and only source that we have to make it through. So we have to continue to encourage and teach our young youth. And like you said, no sugarcoating spiritually, strictly by the word of God, however the Holy Spirit leads, no ifs, ands, or buts, no cutting down, no shortchanging anything, giving them the straight word of God. Well, praise the Lord. We got 60 seconds. Bishop, you want to pray us out? As we complete this night. Bishop? Are you still with us?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was praying. I forgot I was on mute.
Oh, that's all right.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Almighty Elohim, we say thank you. For you said in the beginning, you created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, you said that we should be fruitful and multiply, and you gave us all the things on this earth, and we thank you. And we ask you to forgive us, Almighty Creator. Forgive us for when we neglected to do what we should have been doing as fathers, as uncles, as brothers, and the family. And we should have been standing firm on your word. And we just ask you to forgive us, and we forgive those who did not lead us in the right way and by giving us your word, or those who sent us to the church and they didn't go, not realizing the impact, the negative impact that that was having on us. We just thank you. And I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for all of those who are listening in.
Yes, Lord.
And we trust and pray that something that was said here, which was we speak and spoke the truth according to our experience in life, and we just sharing that with those that's coming behind us. We also realize, Almighty Creator, that we cannot give them what we were given, the way it was given to us, because this is another time. And help us to understand that the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us into all truth, and that we will be able to give those who come behind us a foundation that they can stand on, because the world ain't going to get no better. Ain't going to get no better according to your word. But we who have your word, we who have the faith, we can count it all joy as we face the trials and tribulations that's coming our way. When we look around the world, there's wars and rumors of wars, and some we don't understand how people can kill innocent people, claim that they are fighting a war. They're breaking all the rules. And we just put them in your hand and ask that your will be done. And families, we lift up families. We lift them up, the mothers. We lift up the fathers. We lift up the children. You made it clear the various roles that each one should play, that the parents, they should prepare the children, the fathers, protect the mothers and protect the family and provide for the family. The mothers are to nurture the children and to keep, make sure that everything is in decency and in order in the home. We just thank you and praise you for the way that you are going to reclaim that which is yours. In the name of your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
God bless.
Shalom.
Enjoyed till the Lord brings us all together again.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.